Good morning, everybody. Yeah, my name is Jared. I'm the pastor here at RPAC, and welcome. Thanks for being with us this morning, especially if you're new or visiting or a friend or a family member has brought you along. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great morning with us. We hope, too, that you might take the time to fill out the Connect card that's inside your bulletin that you received this morning, and we hope, too, that you can stay for a tasty lunch after the service. We're looking forward to sharing a meal together, so please stay. When we open the Word, it's good for us. This is God's very Word to us. It's good for us to just stop and pause and ask for God's help as we come before it. And I'm going to do that now. If you feel comfortable, bow your heads or close your eyes or not, that's okay. Let me just take a moment to pray. Dear God, we do thank you for a new day. We thank you for this, your Word to us, and for all that's in it. We thank you that it is good for us, that it can change us and shape us, that above all it points us to you and Jesus and all you've done for us. Help us this morning to understand it. Amen. I want to talk this morning about sitting on the fence. I'm going to mention this phrase, to sit on the fence, during my talk this morning. And so here's what it means from the Cambridge Dictionary. This is what it means to sit on the fence. It means to delay making a decision. And if you were going to use it in a sentence, it'd be something like this. You can't sit on the fence any longer. You have to decide whose side you're on. Sitting on the fence means you never decide. You never go one way or the other. You just sit on the fence. You never make a decision. So I'm going to talk a bit about that this morning. I'm going to use an example now of a bit of a famous, well-known story of sitting on the fence. And we all know that the country of Switzerland decided many, many hundreds of years ago that they would stay neutral during war, that they wouldn't fight in war. They have their own army and defence force, but they do not enter into war. And so they're a famous example in World War II of really how they sat on the fence during the war. They didn't participate. For centuries, they wouldn't participate in war. And famously and controversially, they stayed out of World War II. Whilst Nazi Germany was wreaking havoc around Europe, Switzerland did nothing. It was part of their policy. They decided to stay out of it. The trouble is, how can you stay neutral whilst evil prevails around you? And that's what people were asking at the time. How can you stay neutral when there's all this evil? And as it turns out, Switzerland was never totally neutral. They were involved trading with the Nazis in Jewish gold. They would refuse to take Jewish refugees. You see, because there is no really true neutrality in war. You can't sit on the fence. There's no true sitting on the fence in war. We often sit on the fence with things. Some of those things will be trivial things. You know, someone might ask you, are you a tea person or a coffee person? I don't know, I don't really mind. I could go either way, I sit on the fence. And I'd say, well, you live in Riverwood. You must follow St George or Canterbury. Who do you follow? You go, well, I don't really follow anyone. I just sit on the fence. I mean, it'd be a smart person, like Dan, would follow Cronulla Sharks. We know that. But sometimes people will sit on the fence, even in their own suburb. It doesn't matter. I just sit on the fence. Canterbury, St George, it doesn't really matter. It's just a game, a bit of fun. But there are times when we can't sit on the fence. We need to make a decision. We need to choose one way or the other. And it's like that with Jesus Christ. We can't sit on the fence when it comes to Jesus. We have to choose. Jesus says that we are either for him or we're against him. Sometimes people will say that they'll leave matters of faith or Christianity or Jesus. They'll leave a decision until later in life. They want to sit on the fence. Or maybe I'll deal with that when I'm sick or in trouble, as if a decision can be put off to a time when it's more convenient, when it suits them. But you see, our choices matter. We sometimes make the wrong ones. We're not perfect. We know that. Some of the implications will be bigger than others. And so it's important with big decisions in life to not sit on the fence. Let me talk about Jesus' friends and making the wrong choices, because this is in this passage that was read to us this morning. There were two of Jesus' friends. They made a choice. One was to betray Jesus. One was to deny him. Both bad choices. One would seek forgiveness, good choice. One did not, bad choice. But here's the amazing thing with this story. Regardless of their bad choices, Jesus died for them both. He went to the cross. The one who sought Jesus' forgiveness received it. Here's the amazing thing for us, the fence sitters, the bad choice choosers. Jesus died for us too. And so here's why we can't sit on the fence when it comes to Jesus. And I've got two things I want to talk about this morning. Firstly, it's because of loyalty. Loyalty is always better. We know that. Whether it's to a partner in a relationship, in a friendship, whether it's to a workplace or to a group of people, loyalty is good. Loyalty is always better than disloyalty. Well, Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, chose betrayal over loyalty. Now, Jesus never asked much of his disciples, just loyalty, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the mission. For some potential disciples, for people that were along the way trying to ask Jesus whether they would follow him, what would it mean to follow him, for some that was too much. There was too much. There were other priorities for them, and that got in the way for them being followers of Jesus. Not all disciples were obedient. Jesus never looked for perfection in his disciples, just obedience, just faithfulness. Well, Judas was famous in his betrayal, as we've heard about this morning. And for Jesus, it was like a stab in the back. Let me read verse 48 to us again. As Judas was coming with the lynch mob in the middle of the night to get Jesus, to identify him, Judas would give him a kiss. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" That would have been the nice greeting of the day, a kiss, a family member, a good friend. You would give them a kiss. And like we might today shake hands or hug someone, Jesus is saying to Judas, with one hand you're shaking my hand, with one arm you're hugging me, and the other arm you're stabbing me in the back. That was the betrayal. Not that that was a surprise to Jesus. He knew and foretold that it was coming. It was a part of God's plan for his son. But in this passage, there's another kind of misguided loyalty that we see happening here also. The other disciples, the other 11, they see what's unfolding in front of them. They think it's time to get their action hero on, and so they draw swords. And even though Jesus had told them earlier that that was not necessary, that's not what they were about, they draw swords. Before Jesus can stop their misguided loyalty, one of them slices off the ear of the servant of the chief priest. In one of the other Gospels, they'll tell us it's Peter. Jesus tells them to stop it. He heals the servant's ear. He puts it back to where it belonged. Jesus was often misunderstood. He was often misunderstood by those closest to him. He was clearly misunderstood by those in authority. And for these Jewish leaders that were after him, there was a deliberate misunderstanding that led them to evil deeds. And that's why Jesus himself here would say to them, "But this is your hour when darkness reigns." As in, your work is of the devil. When darkness reigns. There was no loyalty to Jesus here. And the lynch mob arrest him, they take him away, and he'll be led away on trumped up charges, on false charges in a kind of a kangaroo court setting. There'll be no justice. He'll be treated like a criminal, even though he wasn't one. They'll beat him up, they'll torture him, they'll flog him, they'll kill him. But there was never any doubt of Jesus' loyalty to his Father. The Father sent him into the world to die for the world. You see, Jesus chose loyalty. And it's our job to make sure we don't misunderstand what's going on here. God and Jesus couldn't make it any clearer. Jesus' closest friends got him wrong, and people have been getting Jesus wrong ever since. But Jesus chose loyalty to the mission. He chose loyalty to the Father and to us. Well, here's another reason why we can't sit on the fence when it comes to Jesus. Secondly, because the truth can't be denied. The truth can't be denied. I don't know if you've ever been let down by someone, or maybe you've let someone down. You know that feeling of kind of that disappointment, that kind of sadness that you feel? The thing is, we all let God down. Peter let Jesus down, just as Jesus had predicted. Jesus predicted this would happen for Peter. Peter was certain he wouldn't, and he made some bold, strong claims about his loyalty to Jesus. But he failed. And look, we're no different. We fail when we deny Jesus, when we ignore him, and when we ignore what he and God have done for us. We fail. It's ignorant. It's foolishness. But there is good news. There is good news for Peter, and there is good news for us. Let me read to you from Luke 23, just the next chapter. And if you've got your Bibles open or your app open, have a look at verse 34 in chapter 23. As Jesus was being crucified, Jesus said, cries out to God, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus forgives the deniers. Jesus forgives the betrayers. And as he is about to die, he pleads for forgiveness for those who put him there, because it was for them for whom he would lay down his life. Whether they wanted forgiveness or not, Jesus died in their place. And forgiveness was now possible because it was made available by Jesus. You see, there's a cost to our denial and our betrayal of God. Just like in our human relationships, there is a cost, so there is with God. But this cost is eternal. The incredible news for you and I today is that Jesus steps in and he bears that cost, because none of us could truly stand under the cost of denial and betrayal, because that judgment that is due to us is too huge, but not for Jesus. You see, this is why Jesus had to step in for us. This is why he had to take our place. He was the only one that could. And that's what he does. Why? Why does he do this? This is the huge question, isn't it? Because it has an extraordinary answer. It's an amazing answer, and the answer is love. The awesome and powerful creator of the universe loves whom he created. So you're not just an insignificant speck. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made by a loving creator. Why did God do this? Why did he send Jesus to the cross? Because of love for you and me. We may not have known it. We may not have cared. We may be just learning things about God and ourselves for the first time this morning. But here's the truth. God loves us, and he showed it in Jesus. He couldn't have made it any clearer to us. He wants us to know it. He wants us to be certain of it. He wants us to know that everything from the past, everything in the future will be taken care of by the blood of Jesus on that cross. You see, that's why you need Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. That's why every member of RPAC needs Jesus. This is why the world needs Jesus. The only thing we need to deny now is self. We need to stop denying Jesus, to say sorry, and to know that we are forgiven. We need to stop sitting on the fence. Because with Jesus, there is no sitting on the fence. There was a huge cost to all of this. The Father God sends the Son Jesus to die in our place. This is huge. It's hard to make a human comparison. And sometimes we hear stories of people sacrifice for others. I'm going to share a story that I remember since I was a young teenager. It had been my dad and I had been out to a morning's sporting fixture. I'd been playing rugby for my school somewhere on the other side of Sydney. We were returning home early that afternoon, the Saturday afternoon traffic. We'd headed out back through Menai along New Illawarra Road, where we'd come to Heathcote Road. We lived in Heathcote, so we were going to turn left onto Heathcote Road, but you couldn't get onto Heathcote Road because the traffic was all built up. Now, Heathcote Road is not the safest road at the best of times, and this is we're talking a long time ago. This would have been the mid-80s, and so it wasn't a safe road then either. And we'd spent a long time, maybe an hour or so, in the traffic just sitting there, and we, like others, would have to turn around and come back home another way. And getting home a bit later on that afternoon, I remember my dad sort of wondering what happened. And we'd heard later that night in the news about a terrible accident that had happened on Heathcote Road that morning, mid-morning, and that's why the traffic was built up. It happened really actually not that long before we'd been there. And because news travelled a bit slower back then, it would have been a few days later before we heard the whole story. And this was the whole story. The reason why there'd been an accident and the traffic had built up that day was because of a big bend that is down the bottom of that Heathcote Road before you cross a bridge and before you head back up towards the Princes Highway. And back then, visibility was poor. Not that it's great on that bend now. And so you need to be careful now, but you needed to be more careful back then. What had happened is just beyond the bridge, a car had broken down, and the heavy Saturday traffic had built up very quickly. And the cars were just starting to build up on that bend where you can't see them as you come around that corner. And so as the traffic stopped, one car comes around the corner, too late to avoid an accident, bang, would hit the car in front. And then apparently a second car came along, too late to avoid an accident, bang, would hit the car in front. And then a motorcyclist came. And as he came around the bend, too late to stop, hit the brakes, slid under the car in front of him. But behind the motorcyclist was a truck, a big truck. And in that split second, the truck driver had a choice to make. Would I hit the brakes and plow into the motorcyclist and the cars that were in front of me? Would I kill several people? Or would I take my truck off the edge of the cliff? And he took his truck off the edge of the cliff. And I remember that story. And that story has stayed with me. I remember the man's name for a long time. I can't remember his name now. But I thought, wow, he had a family. He had kids and a wife to go home to. And that's what he did. That's what he did to save these people. Now, that story cannot compare. Although that was an incredible sacrifice, how can that story or any story of human sacrifice compare to one, a perfect man sent by God, God in the flesh, who would go to a cross innocent for the sins of humankind, who would be treated like a criminal, who would be betrayed and denied, who would go to that cross despite that, for people, not that people loved him, for people that hated him, for people that didn't deserve it. No story of human sacrifice can compare to the story of Jesus going to the cross for you and I. No story. Jesus died for you and I. And because of this fact, we can no longer sit on the fence. We need to stop living in denial and turn back to Jesus. What would be the first step to make this happen? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, to take that step, to stop sitting on the fence this morning. And the first step is to pray a prayer. And when you pray this prayer, and if you mean this prayer that you pray, you've got off that fence and you've sided with Jesus. You've made the right choice. You're going to ask him for forgiveness in this prayer. If this is the prayer that you choose to pray, you're going to ask that he'll be the Lord of your life now. Here's the prayer that you can pray this morning. I'm going to read it to us first, and then I'm going to give us each an opportunity to pray. This is how it goes. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I'm sorry that I've ignored or denied what you have done for me. Please forgive me. I want to live my life for you now. Please help me put my trust in you and all that Jesus has done for me. Please show me how to live for you now. Amen. If you want to pray this prayer to stop sitting on the fence, then I'm going to pray it now. I'm just going to pray it slowly, and you might want to repeat the words after me just in your own heads, just quietly to yourself. I'll give you time to do that. And if you agree, say amen at the end. Let me pray. Dear God, Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I'm sorry that I've ignored or denied what you have done for me. Please forgive me. I want to live my life for you now. Please help me put my trust in you and all that Jesus has done for me. Please show me how to live for you now. Amen.